And it's certainly something that will be the greatest thing you ever encountered in your life. When I was young, I loved a lot of things. And I substituted a lot of things for my love for God. I substituted a love of Western movies for God. You say, well, it's not wrong to love Gene Autry and Roy Rogers and Kent Maynard and Hoot Gibson and all that bunch. Well, I know that's true. But I love them more than God. And I had a wonderful mother, magnificent mother, wonderful. And I loved her more than God. And she was the first thing in my life. You say, what was the thing you love least in your life? My little brother. And the only thing that would have been worse if I'd had a little sister. But there were just two of us. So I loved a lot of things more than I loved God. Then I met my wife. I was fascinated by her. I just was crazy about her. I've never wanted to be with anyone in my whole life more than I wanted to be with her. Same thing is still true. But I love my wife more than I love God. And since, and I'm not blaming Dad, but Dad was a womanizer. He ran off and abandoned us when I was 8 years old. So I'm not making excuses. I would have loved attention anyway. But I loved attention. I loved recognition. I liked to be bragged on. I liked a lot of things. I loved those things more than I loved God. As my life went on, I loved a lot of things more than I loved God. I'm not talking to a bunch of Lone Rangers out of here. You all have been through that, and you are going through it. Now, the Bible is very clear that I was supposed to love my mother. The Bible is very clear that I was supposed to love my wife. And I love every one of my children dearly. Sometimes they don't understand me, because now I don't seem to give them a whole lot of attention. And I always seem to be doing things that are related to the Bible and to God's Word. But my first child came along, Vicky. I idolized her, to think this was part of me. And I loved her more than I loved God. I loved my wife more than I loved God. I loved my mother more than I loved God. There were lots of things I loved more than God. And then the other children came along, and I loved all seven of our children. Loved them dearly. I loved them more than God. Then my grandchildren came along. By this time, there were some changes that were being made in my life. I will be eternally grateful to God for calling me to preach. Because in my vanity, in my desire for attention, in my desire and recognition for praise, which I have had from you, I realized that it was going to be necessary for me to articulate the Word of God correctly and to present it to this church he had called me to 30 years ago in order for them to love me, praise me, and give me recognition. So I threw myself into an intense study of the Word of God. And knowing that it was written by the Spirit of God, I asked God to give me three things: wisdom, discernment, and understanding. He did. And along the way, something began to happen in my life. Because I had to preach the Bible, after 30 years, you've preached most of it. Something happened to me. I fell in love with Jesus. I fell in love with him with a greater love than I've ever known. The only love I could ever compare it to was the desire I had to be with my wife, because I loved her so much. But now I found a greater love. I found Jesus. And I found that loving him is the most important thing in life. If you haven't discovered that, it's my prayer to Almighty God that you will. You say, well, don't you love your wife more than you love yours? If you love her more than God. Because you're supposed to set an example for your wife. And she's supposed to see how much you love God. And this is supposed to rub off on her. And you wives, you love your husband more than you love God. You don't love him as much as a wife that loves God more than she loves him, because she shows her love for him by showing him her love for God. And sometimes it rubs off. I'm going to say this very slowly and very carefully. God meant for us to love our mothers, our fathers, our brothers, our sisters, our wives, our children, our grandchildren, and our great-grandchildren. But God never meant for us to love anyone more than him. And this may sound hard, and it may sound cold, and it may sound cruel. But substituted love is the sin of idolatry. Because you're substituting your love for someone else for the love of God. You can't do anything better for your wife than to love God more than her. You can't do anything better for your husband than to love God more than him. You can't do anything better for your children or your grandchildren or your great-grandchildren or your brothers or your sisters. You can't do anything greater than to love God more than them. And I guarantee you, if you love God more than them, you love them a whole lot more than somebody that just loves them and puts God in second place in their life. Took me 30 years at this church to discover it, but I discovered it. My years are drawing to a close. I'm 72. And I've discovered something that I wouldn't take anything in the world from. And I discovered it from the scriptures. Substituted love is the sin of idolatry. By loving things or others more than the Lord who made you to live with him, to fellowship with him in spirit and truth. That's what God made you for. He gave you physical life. He gave me physical life. He gave us spiritual life. He saved us. So we could love him foremost and fellowship with him, and set the example for our wives, our husbands, our brothers, our sisters. And we're not supposed to worry about whether they follow our lead or not. We're supposed to set the example. It's not easy, because sometimes husbands feel slighted because their wife seems to love God more than them. But how will they ever learn otherwise? Sometimes wives seem slighted because their husband seems to be always caught up in something involving the love of God. But how will they ever learn if the husband doesn't do it? And how will your children ever learn if they don't set the example? The greatest thing you can do for anybody is to show your love for God above anything else. You can have faith and hope in him. And it's faith that saves you. And it's hope that gives you the excitement of his soon coming. And you can have faith and hope in him, but still not love him by substituting many things as primary objects of your love. You love your possessions more than God. You love your money more than God. You love your wife more than God. You love your husband more than God. You love your children more than God. You love attention more than God. You love recognition more than God. You love power more than God. You love your lifestyle more than God. That's wrong. That's wrong. Can you love all those things? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. But love God more than all those things. That's the most important lesson you'll ever learn as a child of God, and it's in Scripture. 1 Corinthians 13:13. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. Charity is the word agape. It's the love of God. And it's translated charity because when you give something and you expect nothing back in return, you give it in charity to some organization, you don't expect a kickback, and it's love given expecting nothing in return. God gave his love on the cross at Calvary and didn't ask us for anything in return. We don't even have to love him. Whenever we received him as Savior by faith, he saved us and gave us the hope of his coming. But he saved us so we could learn who he is, what he is, and what he's all about. I thank God from the depths of my soul that he called me to preach, because he used my vanity and my arrogance and my love of self and all the other things to force me to study his word so I could present it to you and you would think I was a good preacher. God did that for me in love, because as I studied, I fell in love with him. I fell in love with God. I fell in love with his son. I fell in love with his church. I fell in love with his purpose. Yes, I love my wife. I love my children. I love my grandchildren. I love you. But I love God more. Because if I don't set an example as your pastor here, I haven't done very much for you. You can get a lot of the word and understand a lot of things and yet not love God. This is a very simple, short scripture, but it's right to the point. Exodus 23. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. My mother was my God as a child. And God didn't mind that because I was a child. And my mother was a whole lot more important to me than God. And then when I fell in love with Imogene, she was my God. And God didn't mind that so much because I was 23 and he understood. And I loved my children. And their welfare became my gods. My attention, getting attention, became my God. Succeeding became my God. Being loved by others became my God. A multiplicity of things became my God. They're not my gods anymore. I only have one God. His name is Jesus Christ. He's the head of this church. He's the foundation of it. He is the creator of my soul. He is the giver of life to me. And I love him. I love him unashamedly. I love him more than my wife, my family, everything. You say, well, boy, that's wonderful. I am only ashamed that it took so long. So long. And God had to use one of my bad characteristics of wanting attention to get me to understand who he was. Well, I know him now. I know his son. I'm pastoring one of his churches, and I'm thankful to God for the opportunity. In every generation before judgment by God, there has been a massive departure from loving God by the act of substituting many other things as the primary objects of our love. We substitute our marital partners, our own children and their offspring, and all the things that deal with our material existence and prosperity. There's absolutely nothing wrong with loving any of these things. You should. God directs it. But in the midst of your heart, there should be one love greater than all, the love of God. How will your children ever learn the love of God if you put other things before it? How will they ever learn the love of God if they see that you love them and other things more than him? You teach your children nothing. There's nothing wrong with any of these things. But to love them by seeking them more than God who made us and saved us with his own blood is spiritual adultery. You see, that's a pretty strong word. God is a spirit. You're not supposed to have any other gods before him. No other idols set up in your heart. You're supposed to love God above all things. And you're supposed to love other people by trying to get them to understand the importance of doing what you're saying by loving God more than they love anything. That'll teach their children something that lasts forever. It'll teach everybody something that lasts forever. But you are not to put God second to anything. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Well, we may not have many here tonight. May not have many next week. But I'm an old man, and I'm going to tell you the truth before I die. God wants us to have all these things. And it's fine. God means for us to. But to love him more than any of them, wherever we seek the most, whatever we seek the most, we love the most. Whatever we seek the most, we love the most. If we seek the things of the kingdom of God, we love God the most. If we don't seek the kingdom of God, we don't love God the most. So what are you seeking in your life to give you enjoyment, satisfaction, comfort, and pleasure? Are you seeking the things of the kingdom of God? If you are, you love God the most. If you aren't, there's some other God in your life. You love something more than God. If we seek the things of this life more than the things of the kingdom of God, we have placed them before him as the primary object of our love. Now, you may think you can serve two masters. You may think you can hold on to two different masters at once. But you've got to let one of them go. And you've got to end up with one master. One master only. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. And that master must be Jesus. It's taken 30 years in my life to really appreciate that. Oh, I'm not trying to tell you I'm some sort of a spiritual giant. I'm an ungodly, wretched sinner. And I'm an ungodly man in the flesh. And I understand what Paul meant when he said, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" Then he answered his question, "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord." I'm a sinner. I'm a publican. I daily beat my breast before God and say, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." So I'm not trying to tell you I've reached up on some cloudy plateau. I'm as great a sinner as I ever was in the flesh. But my soul has learned to love God. And one of the ways it learned to love God is by seeing how forgiving he is to me. If we are faithful and just to confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You better listen to what God says here. And he means it. Words of Jesus. Matthew 6, 24 through 34. No man can serve two masters. You may think you can, but you can't. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Look back on your life. Look back on your life. How many times have you had the opportunity to love God more than something else, and you chose that something else because you loved it more? And the question is not what's happened in the past, but what's going to happen in the rest of your life? Paul said, "Forgetting those things that are behind, I press toward the mark of the high prize of calling in Christ Jesus." It's what's going to happen today. And if you have a tomorrow, tomorrow. Whatever you're serving more than God, you love more than God. You say, "Well, I'm afraid if I just love God, I'll lose all this other stuff." No, you won't. You cannot serve God and mammon. So make your choice. Which one's going to be the most important thing in your life? God or anything else? "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on." I believe that. You say, "Well, I have to get out and work." Don't you think God knows that? Does you think God tells you just go down there and lay down and go to sleep and don't do anything and I'll just take care of you? No, that's not the intention at all. But understand that your love of things and the desire to get more and more and more and build up all these creature comforts for your life, he said, you're putting that before me. If you will work, do what you're doing now, just don't make it the most important thing in your life. Go ahead and work. Go ahead and do your job. Go ahead and be ambitious. Go ahead and succeed. But do it in such a way that God remains the number one love in your life. And all the other loves and desires are secondary. He's not telling you to lay out on a roof and just expect to take care of you. He gave you a body to work with. But he says, love me first. He doesn't ask a whole lot from you. We only assemble here three times a week. His presence is here. Is that so much to ask? To let him know that you love him? To Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for the body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat? Who gave you your physical life? God. Who gave you your spiritual life? God. And the body. Who gave you your physical body? God. Who's going to give you your glorified body? God. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? I've had people tell me, Brother McElmurray, you just don't understand. Yeah, I used to say that all the time. I didn't understand either. But do I look skinny? Do I look unhappy? Do I look unfed? God's provided for me. You say, well, he won't do the same for me. I don't know why not. I'm not special. Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Do you think I'm trying to get you to come to church on every time we assemble? Is that what you think I'm trying to do? After 30 years here, church growth is not one of my leading parameters. If I didn't preach the Word of God and teach the Word of God, it wouldn't be any good to come here. You need to come on Sunday nights. You need to come on Wednesday nights. Why can't you come? What's the reason? There are valid reasons. Am I getting on to you? No. I'm asking you a point-blank question. Do you love something else more than God? You say, well, I can worship God in my front yard. I know you can. But not as well as in a local church. For Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. What about Wednesday night? You say, now you're preaching at me. No, I'm just talking to you. Which do you love most? God? Or whatever keeps you from assembling here? Are you not much more better than they? Behold the fowls of the air. For they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Well, are you? If his eye is on the sparrow, surely it's on you. Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to its stature? That's 18 inches. He said, can you go home and sit out in your front room and say, grow, buddy, grow, get bigger, 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 and you look in the mirror, and there you go, up 18 inches, a cubit. He said, you can't do that. But he said, I can. He said, I can do that. So don't you think I'll take care of you? The question is, how much faith do you have? As your faith grows, your hope grows. As your hope grows, your love grows. If you have enough faith, just trust him. He's not going to abandon you. And why take ye thought for raiment? So why are you always worried about what you're going to wear? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They spin not, neither do they spin. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If God can clothe them and make them so beautiful, what's so beautiful about the latest fashion jeans? Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast in the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? That doesn't mean, okay, I'm going to give up my job and I'm just going to sit at home and pray all the time and study the Bible. And God will have ravens bring me food to eat. And God will take care of me. That's not faith. That's idiocy. The same God who gave you the body to use, the mind to use, expects you to use it. But as you use it, don't let the accumulation of these things piling up in covetousness. And the Bible says that covetousness is idolatry. Don't let them be the main thought of your life. You can't take it with you. Doesn't mean you can't go bass fishing. Doesn't mean you can't do this and do that. Doesn't mean a bunch of can'ts. It just means, which do you love the most? What shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. He said, that's where the heathens, the unbelievers. He said, they want all that stuff. He said, you're not an unbeliever. You're not a heathen. He said, you believe. Now trust me. I would trust Imogene with my life. I would trust Imogene with my life. Would you trust her with yours? Would you trust her with yours? Why can't you trust God? God loves me more than anyone I have ever known. And he proved it on the cross. Now, what kind of a believer am I if I can't trust him to take care of me? It's a trusting in him based on his love for you that causes you to love him. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. God knows you need a car. God understands this society today. He knows you need transportation. He knows you need a place to live. He knows everything you need. I don't know everything you need, and you don't know everything you need. You know everything you want. I know everything I want. But you don't know everything you need. I don't know everything I need, but God does. And God will take care of all of those needs. Why not? He created me and Adam physically. He created me spiritually in Jesus. Why do I have to worry about these things? You say, well, I had to work to get my house. Who gave you the body and the mind to allow you to work? Who gave you the jobs? Who gave you the ability? You say, I had to do this and I had to do that. You wouldn't even be here if God hadn't made you. What is the love of God? It's recognizing who your master is, who made you, who you belong to, and loving him for who he is and what he is. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. What about this kingdom of God? Pretty soon you're going to be in it, either by old age, death, or by the coming of the Lord, one or the other. So it's coming. Are you seeking it? Do I have to tell you you need to be in church worshiping God? Will you argue with God's word? Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. You think I'm trying to browbeat you into loving God? You can't browbeat anybody into loving God. But if he ever gets his heart, his compassion, and the essence of how much he really cares for you, down into that thick spiritual cranium of your soul, you'll come to church and worship because he's the number one love in your heart and in your life. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. What's that old song? One day at a time. Well, it's Sunday. It's one day. You're here this morning. Will you be here tonight? Will you be here Wednesday night? Don't you dare come down here because I browbeat you. Don't you dare start coming on Sunday night or Wednesday night because I made you so mad you could spit snowballs. Don't you do it because I made you feel guilty. You come down here because you love God. And then your heart will be in the right place. And you'll get a blessing from it. These are things we need to think about. There are things I think about all the time. If I didn't love you, I wouldn't be this direct. But there are certainly things we all need to think about. We're having a baptismal service tonight. Kenneth Sanders' mother came, and she's being baptized tonight. What does God want from you? And how much do you love him? Have you ever come to his son for salvation? We're going to have an invitation. I can't save you. But if you'll come to Jesus trusting him, he can. As the song leader and pianist come, as the lights are turned on, and as the sound system is turned off,